You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I can sometimes be a little controversial. I mean, that's right. Some of the things I say can rub people the wrong way and make white people what I call big men. Instead of ignoring those people, we embrace them. Not only do we embrace them, but every so often we reply to their letters, their DMs, and their tweets. And it's White People Wednesday on The Griot Daily, the only podcast that responds when white people are mad with the big mad mailbag. I'm Michael Harriet, world famous white peopologist, and this is The Griot Daily. Today, we're going to respond to the people who send us DMs, emails, tweets, and all that stuff complaining about an article I wrote concerning Minneapolis's agreement with its teachers union that outraged conservative media and, you know, white people in general. So first of all, I got to break down what happened. So in March, like way back in March, white people just finding out and getting mad, but this happened way back in March. The teachers in Minneapolis went on strike, and they went on strike for a number of reasons. Low pay, the teachers' union was arguing with the school districts about cutting jobs, and the school district basically didn't have enough money. And the reason they didn't have enough money is because white people are leaving Minneapolis and their school districts. And so the school district, because school districts are funded per student. In other words, if a school district gets $20,000 per student, the more students they have, the more teachers they can pay because the more money they get from the state, local, and federal government. Well, because they have one of the biggest decline in enrollments in the country, I think it's the third biggest, their base that they pay the teachers from has been steadily declining, right? So they figured, like, we got fewer students, so we need less teachers. That's one of the way we can resolve our budget issue. That wouldn't alone resolve the budget issue because they are like $86 million in debt, and they were expected or projected to become insolvent like by the year 2024. But then when the COVID crisis happened, the federal government gave them a bunch of money, and the teachers were like, oh yeah, now this is gonna solve all our money problems. And the school district was like, nah, we gotta use this money to kind of pay the people we owe. We gotta use this to solve our deficit. It was a big hullabaloo. Teachers went on strike for 3 weeks. And to solve the teacher strike, the school district and the teachers union agreed to a new contract. And part of that contract says that they were going to agree to fire some teachers, but the contract specifically protected teachers who were underrepresented in the community, teachers who attended HBCUs or Native American colleges or majority Hispanic colleges, or teachers who had traditionally been underserved in this school district. And that's the important part, because for years, even the Minneapolis Public School District admits that, oh yeah, like we just don't hire black teachers in the past, right? So they said, yeah, we know this is a problem. We're gonna find a way to correct it. And one of the ways we're gonna correct it is through this contract. And they weren't trying to like make up for their past sins, because the students in the Minneapolis school district is like 37% white, like 34% black, and then, you know, like 20-something percent Hispanic, and then everybody else. But the teachers are like 68% white. That's how much they just didn't hire black teachers. In the whole state of Minneapolis, Minnesota, teachers are like 90% white. So they said, we're going to, you know, address this problem by protecting these teachers of color. Now, what conservative media did is cast this as a fire white teachers first act, right?
Essentially, white teachers would be laid off first under this contract, regardless of seniority. Does that seem fair?
That's what they said the contract entailed, like they were just going to fire the white teachers first. When in reality, it protected the people who had been underserved, who had been discriminated against in the past, because if you don't fire the white teachers first and just go by seniority or tenure, then what will happen? Well, you know, in the past, they just hired white teachers. So all of the white teachers would have, you know, their tenure and they would keep their jobs. And then the school district would revert back to an almost all white teacher school district. Everybody in the teachers union agreed with this. It was conservative media, again, 3 months after this agreement took place, that stirred up all this outrage because they were going to fire white teachers. So I wrote about it. I explained what I just explained to you in a condensed version. I wrote about this. And I said, it's a good thing because you can't make up for inequity by just, you know, going forward and doing the right thing. You have to correct the inequity. And the only way to do this is by taking something from the people who have been privileged to benefit from those unequal laws or that unequal hiring practice. Like, so here's an example I use, right? So imagine if, like, you and 10 friends invested in this fund, right? And one day you realize, oh, only 9 of the people were receiving dividends. And the 10th person, he just wasn't getting his money. And what they were doing is splitting the profits with 9 people, right? That's basically what they were doing in Minneapolis, because the black students weren't getting the education that their parents' tax dollars paid for. Now, this is important because, like, that money doesn't rain out of the sky. Those are taxpayer dollars, black taxpayer dollars, whose money is going to fund education for white students. Why do I say it's education for white students? Because there's numerous studies that show that black students achieve better test scores, they are disciplined less, they have more emotional support when they have black teachers. But in Minneapolis, this wasn't true because all the teachers were white. So again, I wrote about this and we got an onslaught of letters. And we're going to go through some of them and respond to some of the white people who were big mad.
You are a fucking idiot. Bye.
So, yeah, bye. I guess that's the only way to respond to that one. The second one.
Good day. Thank you for writing about this. It just confirms how racist and hateful white people are. We need to gather all the white people up and put them in camps so they can't be racist anymore. Please keep up the great work so that we can keep the white people from suppress everyone. Have a great day.
They said from suppress everyone, but one thing I've learned throughout my career is that, like, really racist white people who write letters, they have bad grammar. And then they end the letter with, have a great day.
There are too many blacks in prison. In the name of equity, let's start killing the blacks in prison until there are equal numbers to white prisoners. This is your logic about teachers.
I don't know how to respond to that, but I'll respond to them collectively, right? So, again, these people read conservative media and think that they're going to fire the white teachers instead of protecting the black teachers from the inequality of the past, right? Because if you don't do that, if you don't do it this way, then what you're doing is perpetuating the past discriminatory laws and the way you were hiring teachers, right? Because if you don't protect the black teachers, what you'll have is a fire black teachers first. And not only will you have a fire black teachers first policy, you will discriminate against the children by giving them an unequal education, because all of those black students were getting an unequal education. 90% of the black children in Minneapolis schools read below their grade level. 80% of the non-white students didn't achieve on their grade level in either English or math. So the black kids, the non-white kids, weren't getting an equal education because of the way their district hired, because of the way their district spent their parents' money. What their district was essentially doing was taking their parents' money and using it to fuel white people's generational wealth. Because we all know that education is one of the largest factors in generational wealth. It's one of the largest factors in whether someone enters the criminal justice system or not. It's one of the largest factors in the pay inequality or the wage gap in America. And so if you continue the policy that you started years ago, you disadvantage those black kids. The only way that white people would allow black people to have an equal education was to allow them to learn alongside white children. So black people never fought to go to school with white people. They never fought for white teachers. What they were fighting for is an equal distribution of resources, because we knew that white people would never distribute the resources equally if schools are majority black. How do I know that? Because it still ain't equal. Majority black schools are still underfunded on average by an average of $2,666 per student. And it doesn't matter whether it's in a poor neighborhood. Matter of fact, the richest, wealthiest black neighborhoods are still receiving less funding than the poorest white neighborhoods. So separate but equal will never work. But white people were not mad at integration. They were mad because segregation would not continue. They didn't want us to have the equal opportunity that their students had. We're not saying that they should make the schools disproportionately black. All we are saying is the staff of the schools should reflect the student body, which would mean an equitable education for all the students. But that's why we're here. That's why this podcast exists, to explain these issues to white people, to explain that we don't want to take anything from you. We don't want to rob white people. We don't want dumb white kids either. We just want the equal access to opportunity that, and this is the important part, that we pay for. And if you agree with that, continue to watch this podcast. Continue to download the Griot app, subscribe, watch us on YouTube, listen on your favorite platform, and tell a friend. And as always, we're going to leave you with one of our favorite black sayings. It takes a village to raise a child. But always remember, there was only one black person in the village, people. We'll see you next time on the Griot Daily.
Thank you for listening to the Griot Daily. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegriot.com.
You are now listening to the Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
You're watching the Blackest Questions podcast with Christina Greer.
In this podcast, we ask our guests 5 of the blackest questions so we can learn a little bit more about them and have some fun while we're doing it.
Okay, so this is a trick question.
We're also going to learn a lot about black history, past and present.
Beautiful. I learned a wonderful fact today. Great.
So here's how it works. We have 5 rounds of questions about us, black history, the whole diaspora, current events, you name it. With each round, the questions get a little tougher.
Oh, you got me, you got me. Let me see.
I have no idea.
I knew you were going to go there, Dr. Greer.
Subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast and share it with everyone you know.